Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Most of us get at least a couple of scam texts, calls or emails every week, and we're all on alert for the obvious ones, and we know not to click the links, and we're wise to it all. Until we're not. So Joanne O'Connor, co-founder of Cyber Awareness Ireland, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm good. So Joanne, I think we are getting better at dodging scams, are we?
We might be getting a little bit better, but also phishing is on the rise. It had a real steep incline actually during COVID, and it hasn't trailed off at all. So even if we're getting a little bit better, we're getting more of them and they're more frequent.
Okay. And are the phishers getting better at it as well? It kind of feels sometimes like they're always one step ahead.
100%, actually. I think they really are one step ahead. And as technology is moving and evolving, and especially with, I'm going to say the word, but AI, because it's everywhere, they're just, you know, it's nearly like they're having fun. They're playing with all the tools they have at their disposal and throwing it at people. I'm sure you've heard of different WhatsApp voice note scams, which, you know, might have been generic before. And there's a lot actually at the moment saying, hi, ma'am, I lost my phone, and to... pretending that this is their new number. But actually, if you add AI into that, which is happening a little bit more, you might have a voice note that sounds exactly like the person you think is contacting you. You know, let's say you, for example, there'd be a lot of content out there with your voice. It'd be very easy to replicate and duplicate a message that sounds like you and then scam somebody.
Oh my God. So this is the next level of it now, is kind of deep fake.
Yeah.
And Camira, are they also managing to pick up a level of personal detail about us as well and add that into it?
Yeah, so you kind of have three levels of phishing. So you've got your general baseline phishing, and if you think about it in a, because there is a quite a nautical theme, if you think about it in an actual phishing context, you put your hook into the water and you're catching any fish. You don't really know. It's not targeted, right? And that's sort of like mass scale. But then as you go get more niche, there's then one called spear phishing, okay, which is sort of it's targeted to a group of people. It might be strategic. So someone might go after a finance department of a company because they're trying to get in via those people. They might have a certain amount of information. And then the next level up is called whaling. So they're going after a specific person. It's customized, it's niche, they're after the CEO. And for those people, they will spend time crafting and targeting a message just for that person. So it says, you know, dear Joanne, and it talks about something about me that I've probably shared online, whatever it is. If it's a company related one, it might be about a company I've bought over or an award I won, and it'll be very, very specific. So I'll think it was for me, and I'll think it's legitimate because it has a bunch of information that no one else should probably know, or I think they wouldn't know. So for the most general public population, you probably won't get a crafted, niche, specific one for you, but it is possible. And that's why, you know, you'll hear about it a lot in around September time. People say, stop putting pictures of your kids on Facebook with their school uniforms outside your front door with the number on it. And it's very easy to figure out where you might live and what school your kids go to, because then it's so easy to then send you an email and say, and just basically spoof and pretend they're from your kid's school and easily get you to click. Because one of the main things is that it's trying to trigger your emotions. It's trying to make you either fear something or give you a reward of something. That's why people are always, you know, they think they're going to win the iPhone, but they never do, because they're trying to trigger that. So they're very clever. They know exactly how to manipulate human emotions.
Okay, yeah, because we think we're very smart, kind of, that intellectually we see through this, but actually it's base emotions. They're clicking into human behavior.
They are, but also, and it's, I have an issue, because a lot of times you will read headlines that say that humans are the weakest link, and that's kind of problematic in itself, because we're really not. These are really smart people who are targeting you, and they know exactly how to overwrite your emotional brain so you do something. But you'll find the people feel ashamed and embarrassed, and that they should have known better. But honestly, they shouldn't. And I'd like to remove a lot of that kind of shame messaging, because it's not their fault.
Okay, don't feel stupid. Okay, so
no.
I suppose we always think the worst and panic straight away if we feel that we've been lured into something. Now, not every attack will end up with kind of us losing money or identity theft, will it?
No, it won't. It depends on how you behave and react afterwards.
Okay.
Or preventative stuff, which we can get to in a minute. But yeah, it depends how you react kind of as it happens. And okay, once you cop on, it's happened. Yeah.
Okay. So you've clicked the link and you're panicking.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's happening to your device now and what should you be doing?
Okay, so we've two sort of main ways that you might click a link, okay? So there's two buckets of, I'm going to categorize people into two sort of buckets. You've general people who use the internet in a very normal way, and they use it for social media, contacting friends, bit of online shopping, okay? They're sort of low risk people. If they're going to click on something, it's probably just going to be one of those normal phishing emails. And if they click that, it's probably, they're trying to get their personal information, data, maybe bank login details and credentials. Okay. So once you click the link, it might bring you to a web page. If you stop at that point, you've clicked it, that's okay. You might still be safe until you put in your details. So if you catch yourself at that moment and don't put in your personal details into this window, you might get there. It looks like an AIB login page, but something feels off and you just back out and exit. You're probably pretty safe. Okay. The next step is if you do put in your details, then we've gone a little bit further and it's a little bit, we have to sort of unravel some of that. So what you're going to do is just close the window, get out of it, even if you've put in your details. You're going to go and reset your password straight away for that account.
Okay.
If it was your bank, because especially bank details, ring your bank provider and tell them what's happened. Go through their steps. They might need to do some cleanup and help you and just check activity. And while you're doing that, then you want to set up, and I know people talk about this a lot, but your multi-factor authentication. And I know people won't do this for a lot of
that. I hate it.
I know, but
it keeps trying to get me to do it and I don't want to do it.
You really, really need to. But, and you know what, right? So, and I was thinking of this, if you, the least path of resistance, because I know most people won't put on MFA, just put it on for your high value apps, your high value things that are valuable to you, which are your email account, your bank. And let's say hypothetically you ran your business through Instagram, you know, you have 20,000 followers and that's where you earn your money. Lock that down as well. That needs MFA. So just put it on the things that are really valuable to you, that if it does happen, you know, at least they're safe.
Okay? And just to explain to people what it is, it basically means that you would, another one of your devices will be called upon to kind of authenticate on the first device that's been hacked. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a double locked door. If you walk through two hypothetical doors, you walk through the first one, which is just putting in your password. The next door is, I need that code that I'm about to send you in your device. And if that person doesn't have your phone number, because phone numbers are unique, then they can't get that code to get through the second door. So really, it is stopping them at that second door. And pretty much it's pretty much kind of hackable proof. It should stop them.
Okay.
And if they do try and get there, you'll get an alert. So, you know what I mean? It really is a solid, solid way to keep them out.
Okay. So you said then you were going to put people into two buckets when we've gone into something. Yeah. What's the other bucket?
Good. Second one are sort of high, they're kind of people with more risky behavior on the internet. And that means it might bring them down a different path. So if you're accessing kind of dodgy websites or you're downloading, you know, free movies, the latest movies, music, games, stuff that's not released yet in the cinema, you can get all this stuff. A lot of them are called torrent sites. If you're over there playing in that space, you're definitely probably going to come across malware, which is malicious software, and that has a whole different set of behaviors. So you might click on the latest movie that's not out yet in the cinema, and then it might start downloading this malware onto your phone, which is malicious software. What it does is like a myriad of things. It depends what it's been sort of designed to do. And that's a bit different then, because you need to stop that being downloaded onto your phone. So you should disconnect. If you notice that, you'll see it pulling down something, disconnect from the internet straight away, turn off Wi-Fi, turn off data, put on airplane mode, because then at least you're stopping it, like you're cutting the connection. And then you need to sort of do a bunch of cleanup. You can investigate your phone, delete anything that's been downloaded, and reset accounts. Go to another device and reset your accounts. So reset passwords again, ones, your high value ones that you really need to mind and protect. And then you need to get some anti-malware on that device and scan it and clean it up. But honestly, it could be, the damage could be done. And
how do you know if they're in or not? Is there any way of telling that?
that anti-malware software is going to scan it. So, and if you can buy it, you can buy it and have it on there all the time, and it scans, it's real time. Anything weird that's going on with your device, it'll pick it up, it'll scan it, detect it, and remove it. There's one called Malware Bytes that I use, and it cleans it up and it'll do it. It just does it for you. So that's if you're, yeah, and you could put it on reactively, but ideally you could have it on there proactively, and anything that's suspicious, just as you use your phone in general, it's going to warn you and clean it up. Worst case scenario, you're going to have to factory reset your whole phone, and then you lose everything and wipe everything, and that's just a disaster.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's your kind of nightmare scenario. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose all the photos and the contacts and everything that was on your device.
And so finally then, any other preventative measures that we can take beforehand?
Yes. So in general, okay, so we've talked about MFA. Again, I know people won't do it for everything. So just pick definitely your email account, definitely your bank, right? So let's just do those ones and anything you might use to run your business. Your password hygiene. I know people love this one as well because everyone hates using long passwords.
Yeah,
yeah. It's
all, all of mine have been in numerous data leaks at this stage, like, but yeah.
Actually, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because there is a website called Have I Been Pwned? It's a weird word, I know. PWNED. If you put your email address into there, now don't freak out when people do this because your email will be there. It will say what data breaches your email address has been involved in. Let's say it was the Facebook one that happened a while back. Just make sure that it's not the same password as it was in the data breach, because now that password and login is on the interweb. And as you can see, if you reuse that password across accounts, then anyone can just pick that up and try your whatever, anything else to get in. So check haveibeenpwned.com.
All of this, it comes back, like it's a no-brainer, really. Change your bloody passwords. Change your passwords every now and again, yeah?
Password, so long, they show, okay, well, I'm going to tell you, if I told you you only had to remember one password for the rest of your life, for everything, and you can keep adding accounts till your heart's content, till the day you die, okay? That is what a password manager is, but sometimes a password manager sounds a bit complicated, and I know I tell my parents about it and their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
Well, you should. I mean, look, everything, there's nothing that's 100% secure, but it just means you have to remember one password, one kind of semi-decent password or passphrase, and then everything is stored in there. It creates passwords for you, it saves them, it will autofill them into websites, and you don't need to remember them. No. So password manager, if you really want to be good on your password.
Joanne O'Connor, yep. Cyber Awareness Ireland, most educational. Thank you very much. And I'm full of good intentions to do all those things now.
Good.
Thanks, Joanne. Thanks.